All right, so we mentioned very briefly on yesterday's show that PewDiePie, the most successful YouTuber in the world, if you have never heard of him, ran into a bit of controversy, to say the least, that saw him booted from YouTube's preferred list as well as dropped from Disney's Maker Studios. Joining us to talk about some of the pitfalls for brands when it comes to internet influencers is Sammy Main from Adweek. How's it going?
Hi, everybody. This is like the opposite of the last time I was here. It's so good to talk to you guys, though.
It's great to talk to you, too. So first, explain a little bit about what led exactly Disney and YouTube to kind of distance themselves, putting it nicely, from PewDiePie.
Yeah. Distance is, I guess, the right way to put it. But over the past few weeks, PewDiePie had been uploading a bunch of different videos, and some of them happened to have anti-Semitic messaging. He wrote in a Tumblr post that that wasn't his intention, but that he was trying to bring to light some of the various things that are out there on the internet that are also anti-Semitic. And it took 9 of these videos for the Wall Street Journal to notice, so shame on the rest of us journalists for not picking up on it sooner either. And once they kind of reported it, both Disney's Maker Studios and YouTube kind of decided that wasn't for them. And it wasn't fair for advertisers to kind of be put in that situation as well, because, you know, they assume that the most popular YouTuber, everybody's watching him, so they want to put their ads there. And then turns out he was saying some pretty terrible things.
So you say shame on us journalists for not noticing, but I don't know about you, but PewDiePie isn't what I like to enjoy in the evening, sitting on the couch.
You don't sit down with a remote control on PewDiePie's playlist?
I don't, but I do have 11-year-old twin boys who do watch him, and so, you know, this was a good opportunity for me to have what we call as parents a teachable moment. And, you know, they had seen it and they explained to me that, which I'm sure if you've read into this, you know that he was trying to prove how crazy the internet is these days. And he was using a service like called Fiverr where you can pay anyone to do anything. Right. And so these people held up a sign that said kill all Jews. And he thought that was funny, and that's not funny. But I guess my point is, it made me question, like, what does an influencer mean? Because it's just, you think about, there were so many views, and I had a lot of people saying, I heard a lot of people saying, like, who are all those people that saw that and didn't say anything? And I mean, those people, a lot of them were children. And so that does, do you think there's the question of ads and brands, but also like the idea that there's no rating system really on YouTube. Is that something that brands, do you think, will demand?
I think this is almost also, it's kind of with all of those subscribers, how many of them are paying that much attention? And there's no editor, you know, there's no like editor of YouTube. Anybody can upload anything. And like, as long as it's not, you know, nudity or something that's very quickly, easily flaggable, it'll pretty much stay up unless it does violate some of their contingencies and rules. So it kind of goes into maybe paying more attention to what in your case or in other people's cases, if your kids are online, paying attention to what they're seeing and being able to catch it as soon as possible. I think maybe people should be paying more attention to these popular YouTubers. And maybe if YouTube had caught on, or if they had a problem before other people had a problem, then maybe they could have led by example. As it is, they did kind of take away future opportunities from him, as well as, you know, Disney's Maker Studios, which is going through its own changes as well, did kind of drop him from their roster. I think it's weird, like you pointed out, kind of so many different kinds of people can be influencers now. Maybe you follow somebody on Snapchat and you think they're so funny, or maybe you really like their Instagram posts because they're so artsy. It's very easy to be persuaded by what they think. And so I'm glad we were able to kind of catch this before it got too far. Like you said, it wasn't a very good joke. If he was trying to make a joke, it wasn't a good example. As somebody with that many subscribers should know better. And so it's kind of on all of us to make sure that they are doing the right thing, and that there's something to say about freedom of speech, but that was maybe taking it too far, or taking advantage of 53 million subscribers a little too much.
Yeah, it's really hard to say in that regard, because I completely agree with you. At the same time, PewDiePie's entire career is based on pushing boundaries and being controversial. And he's, you know, this is by no means the very first time that he's said very out there things that are offensive to a lot of people. And I think a large part of his fan base following, and kind of what you were alluding to, is possibly this is because many of them are young, are children. A large part of that fan base, like, that's what they appreciate about him, is that he's willing to make these very controversial jokes. They understand, or at least they claim to understand, that he is not inherently a racist person necessarily because of these jokes. Having said that, there's the wider kind of optic of the fact that the world right now is extremely sensitive to this very topic. And how does that get interpreted? What I want to know is, how do companies like Disney, of all companies, misunderstand the potential of an influencer like PewDiePie? I mean, he has a history. So if Disney really felt strongly about this ethical line, I mean, before they put their money where their mouth was, as far as kind of putting him to work for them, as a company, you got to kind of do your homework, right?
Exactly. And that's kind of in the article that I did, right? I write for Adweek, and that was kind of what we were scrolling through before. Somebody that I spoke with kind of equated it to Jackass back when that was on MTV, and like, what kind of brand or company advertises against that? It's got to be somebody who doesn't mind their messaging being next to that kind of program. And there's a program for everybody. There's a brand for everybody. So it's kind of interesting, because on YouTube, it is a free platform for people to use. But if you're a part of that YouTube preferred program, I think brands, and maybe not Disney, maybe Disney just wasn't paying attention to what one of their top influencers was posting. But brands probably just look at reach. They probably just look at how many views these videos are getting, how many subscribers these influencers do have. And they're just buying against that. And it really does come down to, like you were saying, just doing that extra bit of homework, just maybe paying attention, even if you've already bought, you know, a sponsorship, or just checking in every few weeks just to make sure it's something that you kind of still want to stand next to.
It is a really interesting commentary on free speech, because he still has his YouTube channel and no one's taking that away. He can still say whatever he wants, but he can't. He's lost his advertising. He's lost his preferred advertising status. He's lost Disney. And so do you think this will be a wake up call to advertisers in the future, or do you think this was a one off?
Kind of also in the piece, I talked to some really smart people. It's a good piece, I promise. But what somebody else also said was this happens so much more infrequently than other celebrity spokespeople. Like if Ryan Lochte can almost ruin Brazil and still come back with different sponsors a couple months later.
Good point.
Like we constantly have those types of missteps. Or the example somebody used in the piece was, you always hear of a celebrity stumbling out drunk, you know, puke everywhere, all over tabloids, and this all you're going to see for a couple of days. But there's still maybe like a fragrance spokesman. Like they still have brands that are going to be attached to them. Maybe they went to court for like marital abuse, and there's still going to be, you know, people who don't mind that stigma is there, because they want people to move forward and they want, you know, to give people another chance or whatever the choice may be. I feel like we see it a lot more frequently in the celebrity kind of spokesperson space, and we've seen not too many from the influencer side of things. I think it's still something that people are feeling out. Not too many brands are like heavy into this space, but I think influencers are usually pretty aware of how their audience views them, and they want to make sure they keep their fans, because their fans are the whole reason that they are influencers. And so I think they're used to walking that fine line, and we don't see it very often at all from influencers.
Well, Jason brought up earlier that this was just a really hard time right now, and to make Nazi jokes. I mean, there were websites that were pro-Nazi websites that were then taking this on face value and not understanding the joke. And it brings back this idea of a rating system on the internet, because I do believe in free speech. Because it reminded me, when I watched the video, it reminded me a little bit of Sacha Baron Cohen, who did Borat and movies like that, where he would go to places and sort of make fun of them a little bit and bring out people's racism, their inherent racism. And that was fundamentally different than what PewDiePie did, which was PewDiePie put this sign in the hands of people who did not know what it said and made fun of them. And that's very, I mean, that's very specific kind of satire, and that he failed at it. And I think those things, when you just throw that out to 53,000 people, you're going to...
53 million.
53 million, sorry.
Way more.
53 million people, yeah. You're going to have some people that are going to misunderstand it. And I think that before, I mean, something has to change there. I don't know what it is. Do you, Sammy?
If I knew, if only I had all the answers, it never would have been a problem.
Solve the world's problems, Sammy. That's all we're asking, please.
I'm getting to it. I promise. All right. Soon.
Awesome. We really appreciate you coming on today to talk about this. Sammy Mayne, of course, with Adweek.com. Where can people follow you online?
You can find me at Sammy Mayne. That's S-A-M-I-M-A-I-N on Twitter. The background picture on Twitter is of Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg. That's how you know you're in the right place. They Excellent. Make a great TV show on VH1. Check it out if you need a laugh in these dark, dark times.
Excellent. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. And we'll have you back soon, Sammy.
Have a good night, guys.
All right. Bye-bye. Have a good night.